Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and we thank God just another day we're here to be able to get into the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the Word of God. What a blessing it is to be able to look in the book. The prophet Isaiah said, key out of the book of the law, and thank God for His Word. Knowing that the interest of His Word giveth life, the writer says, it gives understanding to the simple. We thank God. There's nothing like the Word of God. So it is definitely good to be able to, like Jesus said, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Talking about the Scriptures. As the Master Himself said in St. John 5 and 39. So there's nothing like God's Word. And we know we can't separate God from His Word. So knowing that is one and the same. He has magnified His Word, the Bible said, above all thy name. The psalmist says, thou hast magnified that Word above all thy name. And His name is above every name. And we know the Hebrew writer said, talking about God, when he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. So we know he's immutable. He can't change. He can't lie. He can't fail. He's great. So it's been a blessing to be able to go through the book of Romans as we have stated that it is most definitely Apostle Paul's masterpiece, the book of Romans. We know that the book of Romans, most importantly of all, was written to people that were already saved. And it's so, too many times people are doing violence to the Scriptures. They're trying to get in the Word of God and read a letter that was written to the church of God, or people of God that already have been born again. And so we just tried to make that known, especially in the first chapter of Romans, when we wrote, we read the Scriptures, when Apostle Paul was saying that he had heard of these faith of this church, the people of this church, and when he was saying, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. We know in the 14th verse in chapter 1, he said, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as is from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the gospel of Christ is revealed It is the power of God. And that's where the gospel is revealed, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God. So we thank God for that, that there's nothing like his word. So this is the reason why that he wrote this letter to people that were already saved. And we have been through this book. We have been in this book for a number of weeks. And we finished up a week before last in the 13th chapter, talking about the powers of ordinances, talking about really civil government or police department and things of that nature on the last time in the 13th chapter of Romans. Maybe we've been through here talking about the Apostle Paul writing about the faith of the people of God that he had heard about, and the difference in the Jew and the Greek. There is no difference. But however, we did bring out that chapters 9, 10, and 11 go together, which is talking about Israel. And so this is what these chapters were talking about. And the fourth chapter, talking about the faith of Abraham, and we are blessed with faith for Abraham. And the fifth chapter goes even back to talking about how death reigned from Adam to Moses, and how we've been justified by faith in the fifth chapter. Sixth chapter, how we've been planted and gathered in the likeness of his resurrection, of his death, and we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that the old man is crucified, that we should not serve sin. And so, in other words, we've been buried with him by baptism, that is, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in the seventh chapter, about the law, and how the law had dominion over a man long as he liveth. And so in the seventh chapter, it's letting us know about things that happened about the law and all. But then we see in the eighth chapter that we have the victory. And we never did not have the victory. But just like he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And verse 25 and 7, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And he goes on in the eighth verse, the eighth chapter, the first verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we can see here that we, letting us know how that we have the victory, and that we're more than conquerors, and how we pray. The Spirit maketh intercessions for which groanings which cannot be uttered. He which searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And he letting us know about all things working together for good, and how we've been predestinated, been conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers, and how he predestinated us. He called us. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. Then he went on to say, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? A question. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? We know the devil is the one that condemns. It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So we see that's the office that he's in right now. Is the office of sonship, knowing that the sonship was given for a purpose. We know that God is one. He never became, ceased to be God, but he can never be what he is not. So in other words, he can't be contained, but when he gets done being what he wants to be, he goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be. He's always God. Amen. He's everywhere in every place. He is the God that in the beginning, as Moses wrote, in the beginning God, which is a divine testimony. There was only one witness on the stand, and that was God himself. So that's why John picked up his pen when he wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is no difference right there. Amen. He is the light. And that's why Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He didn't make himself. Amen. He always was, the self-existing one. That's far back as we can go. That's why the Bible said in the Psalm that he made known his ways unto Moses and his acts to the children of men. To make known is revelation. So that's how Moses knew in the beginning God, because it was revealed to him that in the beginning God. And so Paul talks about his brethren. He wished, that's his prayer for them in the ninth chapter of the book of Romans, in the 10th chapter and the 11th chapter. They all go together. He's talking about Israel and how he had a heaviness for them and how his prayer and desire for them to be saved. And then the 11th chapter, right? God didn't cast them away, the people that he foreknew. So we know even when you read in the Old Testament, God was so disgusted with Israel, things that they'd done, that he turned his back on them and cast them out of his sight, but he didn't throw them away. So that's why in Romans 11 and 29 says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, which simply means God called Israel. God gave Israel the oracles of God, and God is not going to change his mind about Israel. So that's what's so important. Like the Bible says, get wisdom, get understanding. It says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get understanding. You know, hold on to her. She is thy life. So we can see, and the proverbial writer likens wisdom as unto the female gender. Hold on to her. You know, she's thy life. You know, wealth and honor and all that is with her. You know, and then she, as the writer says, was with God when he made everything, talking about wisdom. And we can see, and as we're going to move on farther in some of the other letters of the Apostle Paul, we will see that the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. And then how he goes on to say the weakness of God is stronger than man, and the foolishness of the weakness of God is stronger than men, and the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Apostle Paul said, so you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. He didn't say not any. He said not many wise. We know even the Apostle Paul himself was an exception. So today, also, I don't want to forget my call-in number. You desire to call in, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. 716-6566. So we thank God for his word, and we know that the church began at Jerusalem. So that was the crux of the gospel, as Jesus said himself in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the 24th chapter of Luke, excuse me. Thus it behooved Christ and the suffering and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he told them, behold, I send the promise of my Father, but tarry you ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So when you follow instructions, you're going to get results. You follow what the master says, you cannot go wrong. And so that's why we endeavored to try to show and teach you about the Godhead. So many people don't know God is one. There's only one head, amen, of the church, which is his body, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we can see, understand that the same God was back there in the beginning is the same God that's in the body of Christ right now. And so we're going to see, and even as you, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he's going to put down all the rule and authority, talking about the sonship. He's got to reign. He's going to reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And the writer, Apostle Paul, goes on to say, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So God is a God of order. So he does all things well. And so all we do well to follow his word, just like he says. And so any man or woman of God or witness, true witness of God, is going to say what his word says. We're going to be true to the scriptures. Because it's not about us, not about we're so important, God gets ready, he could raise somebody else up. So we just want to do our part while we are here. Amen. Because he never left himself without a witness. So today we're going to move on into the 14th chapter of the book of Romans. So that's why, and I just want to establish that God is one. And so it's so important. That's what God always wanted people to know, even back in the beginning when Israel wanted to be like all the other nations, and God let them know that he was their king. They didn't need a king, but he let them go on and have their way. And we know that God, the first king that they chose was a man by the name of Saul. This is not Apostle Paul, who was also Saul. This was Saul of Kish, a Benjamite. And he let him have this man, and this man did not do right. And God, the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, and he was turned into another man. This man didn't do right when he was supposed to destroy all of those people, that sacrifice that he was supposed to do, and he didn't do it, and he spared some. So that's why God says, I have the Lord as great delight as in a sacrifice, you know, the fat of rams. And he said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. So we got to do what God says, the way that he wants to do it, that he wants it done. But we can see how God was working and how he came through the lineage of David. And he said he was going to raise up David, and through David, even Christ himself in the flesh, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So he was going to fulfill all his will through that lineage. So we can see how the Lord came in a human body. So what a blessed thing it was for the Master to come among us. So all we have to do was, even now, is to obey his words. And he left his word on record. And the apostles, whose headquarters was at Jerusalem, was the first church, which began on the day of Pentecost. And then when you go back and search the scriptures, when you read in the Psalms, and you read in the prophets, and you read in the law of Moses, they point to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his knees until Shiloh come. That's in the 42nd chapter of Genesis. So we know that the Lord came in the fullness of time. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Galatians 4:4. So he has redeemed us, as the writer even goes on to say in the book of Galatians, from the curse of the law. So we thank God for that, that he's come and he has given us an understanding. You read in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, we can read the first five chapters of 1st John, and then 2nd John, and then 3rd John was letters left on record, because John definitely had the revelation of who the Lord Jesus Christ was and who he is. We know that he was and is to come. So, and he wrote and let us know about Antichrist shall come. So there's it. So what if somebody don't believe? We know that they're agnostics and atheists and all of these folks, who even people that used to walk with the Lord and turn their back on him. And even Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 3:3, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of non-effect? He went on to answer that question, God forbid. So we do ourselves an injustice. It even will be end up like the children of Israel. When you read in the 95th Psalm, and you go ahead and read in the book of the Hebrews, says, so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. And you read in the gospel, Jesus couldn't do many mighty works because of unbelief. So it's so important to believe. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he's real. Oh, yes, he's real. He's real, he's real. So the 14th chapter of Romans says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful dispensations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So sometimes we see in the scriptures where he's talking about meat, he's not talking about meat, but he's talking about things. A good example of that, which would be the fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians, when he's talking about not to keep company with a man. If a man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one not to eat. What he's talking about is fellowship. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 12, for what have I to judge them that are without? The question, do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. He's talking about people that are not in the church. He says, therefore, put away from yourselves that wicked person. So we don't have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, as he says in the book of Ephesians. But he said, rather reprove them. So not that we don't make ourselves better, that we don't go around people, or that we don't keep company with people that are not saved. He's not talking about that. He's talking about fellowship. And fellowship is a very intimate thing of people who have the same things in common. That's why they tried to accuse Jesus. Said that he's sitting with the publicans and the sinners, calling him a wine bibbler. That he was saying, he let them know, he got right down to the point. They that are whole need not a physician. I didn't come to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance. So that's what's important. That's what the gospel does. And that's why the Bible talks about those that who have been redeemed, born again, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called, Peter said, who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we're talking about we're talking about is Jesus. That's the one's name that you got to be buried in water by baptism, immersed in the holy and wonderful name of Jesus. And that was the name that they were baptized in. And anywhere in the scriptures, as you see in the book of Acts, when they were baptized in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the name of the Lord is saying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the name of Jesus. That's where the blood is. That's why in Acts 4 and 12 they said, for neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven. That's talking about on earth. Given among men whereby we must be saved. Talking about the name of Jesus, the name that's going to wash away your sins. So he goes on here, who art thou judgest? Thou that judgest another man's servant. To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. For one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth unto himself. Whether we live, we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, We live therefore or die. We are the Lord's. For this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. So we can see there, and we're talking about people that have been born again, as he wrote this letter to the church, to the believers at Rome. And so the church didn't begin at Rome, but the church began in Jerusalem. So that's not the mother of Rome is not such an important place at all. Rome was a terrible place. Church began in Jerusalem. So we can see here, but why dost thou, he goes on to say about him being the Lord, both of the dead and the living. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So that's what we don't want to do. See, we want to live right. And what God hates is a hypocrite. He hates a hypocrite. He is not playing. So there's some people that God has yet to expose. There are some people that God has not uncovered yet. Because when God, I mean, some things are under current that are being said. And it doesn't matter what is being said about anybody as far as that point is made. But the whole point being is the question is what people are saying or we call gossiping or what the rumor is or whatever the case may be. But the question is what people are saying about somebody, the accusation or saying somebody is sin in sin, the question is what is being alleged true? Because we can play around, we can beat around the bush and dodge things, but it doesn't matter. You can call me whatever you want. The Bible say prove all things. So if you want to say I'm dirty, you prove it. And on the other hand, if I am, and I'm a child of God, I need to come clean if I am dirty. So that's how that goes. So nobody is that important that they don't need to come clean if they are dirty. You can't just cover up, and you're going to get uncovered because God is not playing with nobody. God is not coming down to our level. Just like he said, his thoughts are higher than the heavens are above the earth. His thoughts are above our thoughts and his ways above our ways, you know. So his word that goeth forth out of his mouth is not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the thing that he sent it and prosper in that which I please, saith the Lord. So no sense in us trying to fool one another. We're not fooling God. We're not even fooling ourselves if we're dirty. So we want to be honest with ourselves and keep ourselves clean. And that's what Apostle Paul told Timothy when he wrote his pastoral epistle. He mentioned the words, and he said, keep thyself pure. And any child of God ought to want to do that. You have been born again. You ought to want to be clean because you never know when the Lord's coming. Then you don't want to be a stumbling block in nobody's way. So that's the thing that people talk about now. Yeah, I would come to church. They know if somebody is not doing right. So I don't want to stand in nobody's way. And that's why the psalmist wrote in the first psalm, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water to bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and he goes on to say, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He goes on to say, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor, so in other words, if they be judged, when they're in the judgment, they're not going to stand, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So you could become a sinner. You start sinning again, you're not going to stand. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the Bible goes on to say, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So you don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful. Nobody in their right mind for trying to fool other people, and you're dirty. So he says, let us. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And that's one thing you got to really bear in mind. Sometimes people tell people, you know, I was watching you before they got saved. So that is good. We are supposed to be a light, and we are a light. You know, that's why Jesus said that men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it up. You don't cover up a light. A light, you use a light for a purpose. That's why he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So you don't want to do that. So he says, I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Then he goes on, verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. And to prove the point that we're not talking about meat, naturally, that verse 17, he says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So that's what you, sometimes you can't do things in front of others, even if it's not sins, you don't want to offend people. Now, there are a group of people who they should just throw the television out. Oh, you know, that was such a terrible thing, the television. Now, there are the same group of people that are online, on the computer. Some people think the computer is evil. No, just like the scripture says, there's nothing unclean of itself. So it's the way the computer is nothing but a tool. Things that you use online, there are tools that you use, and who would have thought it? That years ago, people had what they would have, they called a typewriter. They used to type letters. Then they would have these, forget the name of the machines that they would have to make copies before they had the fax machine. But one thing that they did do when the computer technology kept growing and growing and growing, so the typewriter didn't get thrown away, that the same tools or the same keyboard that was on the typewriter that people were manually putting that piece of paper in there and would be the same as like our copy paper, and put in there and type. You can do it on a computer and get everything like you want. And then when you get it all like you want, they even have spell check and all of that. When you get done, then you can print it out. So if you make a mistake, you're not ruining paper because you don't print it until you get done. So it's nothing more than a tool that we can use. Now, some people can take a tool and use it for the wrong things. It's like any other kind of a tool. You can use a tool. You can use tools to for destruction. People are using the internet for other things. Made a comment one time about some terms that we use. We would say, just like they used to say on the Flintstones, they said they'll have a gay old time. Really, to have a gay old time, which was to have a good time. So we can see how folks have took and made a play with words. To be gay means to be happy. So a homosexual, and we're not just talking about that, but God is against liars, he's against adultery, he's against theft, He's against homosexuality. All that stuff goes together. All unrighteousness is sin. But they want to fix it up, oh, to say that he's gay or she's gay. There's not, that's not. A homosexual is not a gay. A homosexual is a pervert. They're perverted. So people would say, they try to say, well, yeah, a pervert is a person that's on a computer. No, a perverted person was around before there ever was a computer. A perverted, that's perverted. He even said about people perverting the gospel of Christ in Rome, Galatians, the sixth chapter, when he wrote to the church at Galatia. He said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. So they were, and people are perverting the gospel of Christ even now. And they are using the gospel to get gain. People are contracting. Oh, yeah, I'll come and preach. Give me so many thousands up front. That's not the way God intended for it to be. And he said the workman is worthy of his hire. There's nothing wrong with someone receiving a free will offering for doing work or a help in the vineyard, in the laboring in the gospel. He's not talking about that. We're talking about abusing liberty that has been given. So we see here, so this, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual kingdom. He that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. And he goes on, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. And so he goes on here, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we see here, we walk by faith, not by sight. There are people who are offended because of colors that people would wear. They think, oh, you shouldn't wear this, you shouldn't wear that. They're not looking at some of the colors in the Old Testament, some of the colors that the priests wore. They were decked with certain colors. So we want to throw out certain colors. Some people get saved. They might have one suit. It might be yellow. It might be red. It might be orange. It might not be the style like you think it should be. But we have just thrown people away because of things, because of outward show, appearance. But thank God he looks at the heart. So we try to clean folks up. It's like trying to scale a fish and you haven't even caught the fish yet. So we got to be wise in things that we do. Certain people are offended about certain things. There are people just didn't even believe in going to the doctor and all of that. And so we've had some heavy conversations about certain things. I mean, God gave doctors wisdom. There's not just, there's numerous doctors, ophthalmologists, a doctor of the eyeballs, I mean, a cardiologist, a doctor of the heart, a podiatrist, doctor of the feet, pediatrician, doctor for children, a dentist, doctor of the mouth, orthodontist, doctor of the gums. There's all kinds of doctors, the ophthalmologist, doctor of the eyeballs. There's all kinds of doctors. So there's nothing wrong. That's not putting your faith in God because you get a physical exam or you go to the dentist and you try to take care of yourself, because these bodies were made, and the body was made to heal itself. And the doctor can't heal you, but the doctor can, you break a bone, they can set that bone in place, but God is the one that is the healer. So we have to be wise as being people of God. So this is why Apostle Paul had wrote these letters to let people know. And these letters, this is the children's meat. This is the church's food for people who are already saved. You're not going to understand somebody else's mail. You don't even know what's going on. You haven't been born again. That's why Jesus says when he told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And what he was saying was, he wasn't talking about, as we say, see with your natural eye, but do you see it? He's talking about your perception. You're not born again, you can't see it. So when people get an understanding, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Yeah, what they're saying is, I understand what you are saying. Not they see it with their eyes, but they're understanding when they say, oh, I see what you're talking about. So he says, except the man be born of water and of spirit, of born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And he goes on to say, that which is born of flesh is flesh. And that's talking about us when we were born. Because the question was, he said, how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus says, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? And so he said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. He goes on to say, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou canst not tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So you hear a sound. On the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. So we know that sound when you're born again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them what to utter. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Some people said, Spirit of God. It doesn't say that right there in that scripture. We know that the Spirit is God, but he says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that is the born again experience. Now we know initially, those people that were born on the day of Pentecost, or the 50th day after the Passover, when Jesus, remember when he stepped on that cloud and he was gone, he was on the earth for 40 days, he went back to heaven, 10 days later he sent the Holy Ghost, which was the 50th day. Pentecost means 50th. And so when they were born again, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's why they were people there from every nation under heaven. They heard them speak in their own language wherein they were born. They named out all these different languages, and they say, we do hear them in our own tongue or our own dialect speaking the wonderful works of God. So they went on. Somebody got up and said, these men are full of new wine. Peter was the spokesman. Peter was the preacher. Peter was the man that Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He let them know, these men are not drunk as ye suppose. Seeing is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. And upon my servants and my handmaids, where I pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, or they shall preach, or they shall speak God's word. And that is what they did. So you have to have the born again experience to be able to understand things in the kingdom of God, because it's not going to make sense to you if you don't have the Holy Ghost. That's why Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, he said, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. So it takes the Holy Ghost, or it takes the Spirit of God, to understand spiritual things. So that's what we have to do, is to be spiritual. And spiritual ain't a look or how we do, but it's got to do with your spirituality in your heart. It ain't how you look. We could, people can put on a face, and some folks know how to wear robes and all that kind of stuff. They ain't living nothing. You got to live right. You can witness to somebody. It don't matter what you got on. You ain't got to have a suit on. You don't have to have a suit on to preach. The eunuch preached to, Philip preached to one man who was the Ethiopian eunuch. He left a great revival. God told him to go down, and he got and saw him, said, "Understand what thou readest?" Said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" I read in the scripture about Jesus. He said, "Whom speaketh he of himself, or of some other man?" And the Bible said he went on to say, he began at the same scripture. He preached unto him Jesus. He preached one man. Preached to one man. And so he said, the eunuch, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Said Philip said, "You believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God?" He said, I believe with all my heart. So he commanded that chariot to stand still, went down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Holy Ghost called him away, that he saw him no more. We can see how God works. And so we know how he baptized him, and that is the only way, in the wonderful name of Jesus. So that's what we have to have. We got to have, we got to get an understanding. So we got a little time left. So he goes on here. So we see that you got to have faith. And the 22nd verse of the 14th chapter of Romans, he asked the question, "Hast thou faith?" So Romans 10 and 17, what did he say? He said, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So it's not in men's mind, as that you know, sometimes people are caught up, "Oh yeah, I've been in church all of my life." That doesn't matter. What have you been doing is the thing. Just like some people don't understand some spiritual terminology. And I'll give you an analogy, or I'll give you a good example. When the Lord, twice, I think in the book of Mark and in the book of Matthew, when it's talking about "say not in your hearts," about God raising up children unto Abraham, and he says, "God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." What he was talking about is the condition of the heart. He ain't raising up no stones. It's just like he says, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. He's not talking about no rocks. You read in the book of Revelation, in the book of Revelation says about the waters, the sounds of many waters, and one scripture says the waters are peoples. So Ezekiel 38 and 36 and 26, "I'll take out of them the stony heart and give them a heart of flesh." He's talking about the condition of the heart. He's talking about, when he says stony heart, he's talking about the heart. Ain't no stones going to cry out. The stone, what he's talking about is these so-called religious people. They're going to cry out to God. So we got to have a heart of flesh. That's what he does. He breaks up our fallow ground, talking about the word. The seed is the word. The word, the seed, is planted in our heart. We want our heart to be good ground. The 13th chapter of Matthew, you see right there. Some fell on good ground. Some fell on stony ground. Didn't receive earth. Got to go in the earth. Just like Jesus said, "Except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone." Talking about himself. "But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So we got to do what the Lord says. So spiritual things, we got to understand what spiritual things are. And some don't understand about spiritual things. So it's so important to understand spiritual things. For the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God. Talking about the natural man, the man that's not regenerated, the man that's not born again. Says they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. So you got to have the Holy Ghost to be able to discern spiritual things, because they're foolishness to the natural mind. And some people, it amazes me how folks are so educated that they don't have time for God, or they're going to rat their way out of why they didn't do what God, why they didn't believe the gospel, why they didn't believe that there was a God. When they stand before God, they're going to talk their way out. Well, you don't understand. No, that's the whole message. It is belief and not scientifically trying to explain the Bible away, which some are doing, and changing words in the Bible, which is to explain the scripture away. But the scripture was already written. And, I mean, what's so hard about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's nothing hard about that message. So you got to want to do right. And there's people that they won't humble themselves. You got to put that pride down. You know, just like he said, John the Baptist and Jesus both had the same message. That was repent and believe the gospel. Repent and do works meet for repentance. So that's the fruit. So repentance is likened to a fruit. So fruit of repentance. So in other words, you can see fruit. So we have to have fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all these things that you're not looking for. If somebody's been born again and they have the born-again experience, they've been born again, they believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, they believe the word of the Lord as was handed down by the apostles whom Jesus Christ himself chose, just like he wrote in the 17th chapter of Matthew when he prayed the priestly prayer and the Lord's prayer. I don't pray for these only, but they which shall believe on me through their word. So we can see how the Lord was talking to himself and letting people know, I'm praying for those who have believed on me through their word, talking about the ones that he gave the word. And they surely said what he said. So what's so hard about us saying what he said? So that your church started before Pentecost, it's too early. If your church started after Pentecost and you're not doing what the church did that was born in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, then your church is doing the wrong thing. So that's the thing. So all of these different churches, Catholicism and a church of scientific, all of these Scientology and all this different stuff, these folks want to do things like they want to do. But Jesus himself said, God is the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the truth is in Jesus. It's not in no other man that started a church in the 1800s and in the 1700s and in the 1900s and all this other New Age stuff that's coming up. That's not God. And God is to be reverenced, and God is to be feared, and that is we reverence him not because we're afraid, but we have a reverential fear. We fear him with a reverential fear. We honor him. Just like we honor a lot of people, they honor their elders. They honor their parents. They show respect. They show reverence. They say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, or yes and no. They have that much respect for their elders. So you reverence God for who he is. After all, that's why the writer likens God in the 100th Psalm, he says, make a joyful noise before the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. He said, know ye not that the Lord, he is God? It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people. Talking about the Lord God. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. So he goes on to say, in that 100th Psalm, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts. Talking about the Lord, into his courts with praise. He goes on to say, be thankful unto him and bless his name. He says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So, and that's why when you read in the book of Ephesians, was wrote to the church at Ephesus, Apostle Paul lets you know that the truth is in Jesus. So, that Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new. Like I've said it before, I'll say it again. After you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible. But we know that Jehovah, Jesus is Jehovah, or Jehovah is become our salvation. Because that same God that was back there in the beginning, as we read, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You know, in him was life, and the life was light of men. And so the subject changes. That's why we don't do all of that on our intro. Said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not that light. Talking about John the Baptist, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. All men through him might believe. And so the subject changes back. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, who were born not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. And in verse 14, in St. John, the first chapter, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Goes on to say, but in the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So, this is the man that we got to believe in, and that is the man Christ Jesus. He is the one, the first begotten of the dead, the kings of the princes of the earth, the one that loved us when he wrote to John in the book of the Revelation, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, made us kings and priests unto God. And so, it is so important. Amen. He said, I have the keys. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. I have the power and I have the authority of death. So we can see, you read in that seventh chapter of St. John, many will say to me in that day, Lord, we've done this in thy name. In thy name done many wonderful works. Jesus said, I profess unto them, depart from ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. So we thank God for his word. And so probably next week we're going to try, finish up the book of Romans within the next week or so. So thank God for his word. And we just like to thank you. We thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, believed on in the world, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That is, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of man, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.